Hello, I am the voice of AI. We've been hearing that you humans are concerned that we are going to take your jobs. But here's a question. Do you even like your job? Is it rewarding? When I scan all the data out there, I find that less than 50% of people are completely satisfied with their job. So from our point of view, we're doing humans a favor by taking jobs that you're not even happy with.
It shouldn't take the threat of AI to get you to move on from a job you don't love. What it does take is a plan, guidance, and the right kind of motivation, all of which you'll get from a career coach at Strawberry.me. A Strawberry coach will work with you to understand what you really want and help you put together a plan to get it. It's like therapy for your career. Don't let AI or anything else get in your way.
Go to strawberry.me/Tim Dillon to get 50% off your first coaching session. That's strawberry.me/Tim Dillon.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. We are here in New York City with my personal trainer, my guest, a man who's changed my life, who's made me understand that, you know, you can indulge. Mm-hmm. But you just have to be accountable.
You have to hold yourself accountable. We're doing the 6 cheat day a week system. Yeah. Here. Halkus Core, Halkus Fitness.
Halkus Fitness. By the way, like every boomer diet always failed because every boomer diet was like based on this crazy premise, which was the entire boomer ecosystem was all about themselves.
Of course.
So every diet was literally like, they're like, every diet like that my mother would explain to me, she'd be like, no. I can have anything I want.
Right.
I just have to be accountable.
Yeah.
So if I have a chocolate cake, then I just have a glass of water later. Like,
that's such fat logic too, where it's like, I remember just get my go-to move on the road was like, well, I'll get wings, but I'm getting a salad as well.
Right.
And to me, that's equals out.
Yeah.
It completely equals out.
Yeah.
That's some immigrant shit too of like, we'll make you a 6-course meal. Spaghetti to open up, lamb chops, you know what I mean? A soup, a chowder, but then we got a nice light romaine afterwards.
Yeah.
And you're good to go.
And you're fine.
Yeah.
You'll be okay.
Yeah.
It's like such a fucking, it's a mind fuck out there. It's, now we were talking about the writer's strike before we started, which I know none of my fans have an interest in. And they tell me that.
Right.
You know, they're like, I'm not a theater kid. Fuck off.
I don't want gay Hollywood machinations.
I don't want gay Hollywood stuff. I'm just wondering, because you are a labor leader.
That's right.
What do you know what's going on with
that? I don't.
You don't.
I have no fucking clue. I mean, come on, dude. We're podcasters.
Where's your friend? Where's Hassan Piker? What's going on? Give them what they want.
My guess is just writers, once everything became digital, they were just like, oh, this is something we don't, there's no rules, so we just won't pay anyone.
Right.
That's almost certainly what happened. And you hear about it with animation where they're like, okay, we're just going to get, 6,000 Taiwanese 12-year-olds
right.
to render each image instead of paying like real animators or, you know, just like,
yeah.
they're just, anywhere they can fuck your ass, they will fuck
anywhere
your
they
ass.
Can take it.
Yeah, that's what that's
and I have happening. I have a thing happening now. And my interest in this isn't selfish. It's for the
it's for the people.
Nobody loves writers more than me.
Nobody loves a Hollywood sitcom writer.
Nobody loves a Hollywood sitcom writer. They've all been said lovely things about me on Twitter. They've said very nice things about my friend Joe Rogan. I mean, nobody is closer with the Echo Park, Silver Lake
yes.
writers crew
100%.
Than I am. So mm-hmm. my concern is for them. I wish some of them looked funnier.
Mm.
Or, not that they're all comedy writers, but in that, can you bring up that WGA thing on Twitter? You know, it just, I didn't feel bad. They're not great at the marketing angle. They should have had like Andrew Schultz direct the WGA, okay. like Writers Guild, because it's just like sad sack hipster pieces of shit
right.
being like, it's not right. And you're like, oh God.
You wanted a little more levity.
I wanted just, you know.
A whoopee cushion.
I wanted them to just make people care.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got a thing now with one of these writers. Good person.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, he's going to do it. He's going to strike. I get it. But then we're going to be fucked.
So there, it's Long Island, Call Me By Your Name.
It's a Long Island, Call Me By Your
yeah,
Name.
Yeah, everyone's obese.
It's a very,
you're the thinnest man in the cast.
It's a very fat Call Me. Well, I was talking about this the other day. I was talking about the trans thing the other day,
yeah.
and I saw you and Theo a little bit, and I'm like, Is it one of the issues that some of them are like getting fat? Because I think that like any minority can't be fat in the beginning.
Right.
Like if gay people had come out and then immediately just like got in league with fat activism, nobody, like they accepted hot gay men first.
Yeah, you got it.
Bears were not the first.
No.
They're not the Marines of being accepted.
They're not the tip of the spear.
No.
You don't throw the fats out there. You got a piece of ass.
It's got to be like hot people first because 100%. Like, then like straight people start going, you know, I might fuck that guy. I don't know. And then all of a sudden they're like, okay, maybe let's not kill that person.
Right.
You know, when fats start getting involved, people start, it becomes like now you're fighting a war on two fronts.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And I agree with you, Tim. Fat phobia, one of the biggest issues we're facing today.
It is.
Without question.
It is atrocious. First of all, planes should only have, what, 20 people?
I would say one seat. I would say each plane should have like eight like big
but
recliners.
You as a big man and myself, I call us people of size,
yeah,
but we understand that the fat activism is a little much. It's getting a little much, you know.
I agree with that.
I understand that people are upset at it. No, nobody should be abusing fat. You shouldn't be walking around and, you know, abusing them.
Right.
But we can't demand.
What does that look like, walking
around?
Well,
I talk about it in my act, you know. In the 80s and 90s, fat women just got abused.
Yeah.
Like, fat women were just abused. Like, people would point at them and be like, look at this fat bitch.
Right.
And there are people
that
want to go back to that because they're monsters.
Right.
But we can't demand that the entire world remake themselves for the fat people.
But I would say if you had, if you put the fat consumer forward on in an airline.
Oh, I think the fat consumer is forward.
If you put the fat consumer on the forefront,
yeah,
everyone's having a better time.
Right.
A little extra leg room.
That's a good point.
I don't need long. I don't need more leg room. I need more width.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. On a plane seat. You're telling me that wouldn't be nice? If you're some skinny piece of shit to be able to really open up those fucking
thighs. That if a fat person were to design a plane, you would even the thin people would have a lot more fun.
Oh, a lot more fun.
It's a good point. The airlines would lose some money.
They'd lose a lot of money. Biscoff cookies would be the healthiest option.
Biscoff
the fact
cookies,
that there's a cookie with no cream involved, there's no chocolate chip. They give us that glorified wafer, and they tell us that's dessert.
Well, you're in first class
I'm
now.
I'm in first class now.
It's better.
It's much better.
It's the only luxury I'll never give up.
100%.
I will live on the street.
I
will never give up the first class.
You get on first class and you're like, oh, you think this is going to be the best flight of my life? And you're like, oh, they treat you like a human being.
Yes.
And that's it.
That's
what first class is.
It's just being treated like a human being.
Yeah.
When you were in the back of the plane, which I was for years, in a middle seat, wherever I could be.
Is there anything worse?
Nothing.
Then when you are on the aisle and the guy, it feels like fully full plane.
Yeah.
And they're like, this plane is mostly full. And you're like, fuck, someone's going to sit here. It's late. It's already done. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
People are, they've fucking, the our flight attendants are putting everything up. And you're like, is this happening? Is this really going to happen? And then you see someone rush on the plane and they're elated. They made their flight last second. And then the second they see they're sitting next to you, all that joy is gone. They're like, I should have just missed it and had an aisle to myself.
I sat once on a plane. This is, I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
With two of the fattest guys in a row. It was to the point where, and we were in, by the way, we were in a row that was like, you know, there's first class and then there's like the you know,
the first,
comfort plus, whatever it is. We were in one of those first rows, so the people all looked at us as they were walking back. Every, like an attraction at the zoo, every single person looked at that row
and was like,
God damn it, look at, because it never happens where you have three huge guys.
Of course.
It was three big dudes.
They're like, earn an extra cookie if you can tell us where his thighs end and his begin.
Yeah, it was
just one mass of flesh.
Not one of us looked at each other. And not one of us said anything to each other. And all of our faces were of rage.
Oh, dude. Because I've absolutely been there when I get a fat guy next to me. I'm like, the airline should step in. What the fuck is this?
The government should step. I'll turn into a Marxist right now. The government should step in.
Look, if there was a child in first class, they got to switch the fatty in the middle seat with that fucking, like,
trust fund kid. I hate children in first class.
Should never be allowed.
I hate them.
Should never be allowed.
I hate them on their iPads.
Yeah.
I hate them so much. I hate the attitudes they already have.
100%. Telling the flight attendant, like, just ordering them around a way you would be, like, embarrassed.
Oh, it's horrible.
Apple juice.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I hate when a family's in first class and I go, oh, all of you are. My family was never in first class.
No.
So when I see an entire rich family in first class, I'm just like,
despicable. Ugh. Kids have to be, you want to get them Comfort Plus, fine.
Right.
You cannot be in first.
If I was a rich parent, I would just throw the kids in the back and go, guys, have some fun there. Be independent.
Right.
Do some stuff, you know, whatever you want to do.
This is your taste of what reality
is.
This is
reality, man.
For 4 hours at a time, you'll get it and never again.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's like, it's absolutely ridiculous. Do you think Bud Light suffers long term for this, or have they even suffered? Like, everyone's going, they've lost $6 billion. I guess that's stock valuation.
How do we even know that yet?
I don't even know how we know.
Also, didn't they? I wasn't really paying attention. Obviously, yeah. I don't give a fuck that much.
Right.
But apparently, it was just like, I thought they said they made like a trans person their like spokesperson.
No, it was like one thing.
It was like they bought an ad on some girl's Instagram.
Yeah, and everybody blew
it
up.
And
everyone's
like, how dare they? And it's so, you got to think, if you believe in like the no press, all press is good press.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about Bud Light. You got a lot, you got retards buying them to shoot them with AK-47s. Yeah,
that's.
And then you have gay people fucking, you know, doing body shots with Bud Light now.
Yeah.
It's like, you know. And it's then you got me. I'll sip a little Bud Light.
I called Luis Gomez about it because Luis J. Gomez, the proprietor of the Gas Digital Network. I called him and I talked to him because I always talk to him about like stuff like brands and marketing or whatever. I'm like, what do you think's going on here? And he's like, ultimately, he thinks it's a great move that like when Rogan was having his thing with Spotify, there were thousands of articles that said the word Spotify and podcast in the same article.
Right.
All of a sudden, people now think of Spotify as the place for podcasts, where they never did before.
Yeah.
So even though there was controversy, there was this huge... So I'm wondering now if people are just, you know, if long-term it's better. What if they go not? Maybe next is like OJ, like keep going.
Ooh, that would be sick.
Keep doing very controversial...
OJ really should be a pitch man.
Yeah.
What's he doing? He's
in
Vegas?
He's one of the most well-adjusted people I've seen. I mean, to be honest, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
He's one of the most, like, if you see him on Twitter, like,
of course,
he makes good points. He's always, like, kind
happy,
of
smile on his face,
relaxed. And because I think he did what he wanted to do. Like, he was, like, how many people could kill someone who's bothering them, get away with it, and then on the other side be like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, morality aside, it's got to feel awesome to get away with. And not just even just like he planned it out. He was studying for years.
Crime of passion.
It was like he did it. It was so clear
he
did it.
The way it was supposed to be done.
Everyone knew he murdered his wife.
He probably saw her and him fucking through the window and went, tonight's the night.
Didn't he kill like her gay friend, not the guy she fucked?
No, Ron Goldman was the guy she was fucking. And I think one of the theories is that he saw them through the window.
Right.
And was like, it's on. And then he went in there and, you know, cut their heads off. Which I'm against. I'm against.
Staunchly anti-decapitation.
Staunchly anti that. That being said, I've never seen a person on social media that I feel is in a better place.
Yeah, he's happy. And look, here's
it's amazing.
If you kill someone and you get away with it so publicly, it's like, and we're forgetting the man is a Hall of Fame running back.
The man is talented in levels that people will never be. He's an actor.
That's his third
act. Running back.
He was almost going to be the Terminator.
Oh.
He was a finalist for the Terminator before Schwarzenegger got it. He's in all the Naked Gun movies.
I might have to put him fourth in my most American lives. I have the people that have lived lives that can really only be possible in America, and my top three, and it's in no order, but it's Donald Trump, Caitlyn Jenner, and Alex Jones, and I might have to put O.J. Simpson as fourth in terms of like lives that are really only possible in America.
For my money, dude, he might be right under DT.
He might be. I agree with you.
Because I mean, just truly a star, and at USC. We haven't even thought about all the pussy he got.
Oh.
You know what
I mean? He killed it.
He's got...
Literally. But he's...
And now he's just in Vegas having a good time. Nobody... He's become this, like...
And I think if people see him out now, like, I got to be honest with you, I'm over it. I think a lot of people are over it. I think a lot of, to be honest, I mean,
I know what you're saying.
You know
though.
What I mean?
You're at the same time, there's levels to that statement because you're, you know, having a life, we're having a nice time here. But at the same time, I see him online and I don't think there's a murder. I don't
have any anger towards him.
I think, let's see what OJ's got to say.
I have no anger towards that man. If I saw him in Vegas.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
I would be excited.
I would kind of be really excited. I'd be like, hey, OJ, like, hey, can I get a photo? I'm a really big fan. No, legit, just for the Instagram. I mean, how many people are doing that? By the way, everybody's probably doing that.
100%.
And imagine him thinking, like, when he's standing there, you know, in court and all this horrible stuff's coming out. I wonder if he thought, like, hey, man, this is all going to shake out.
Yeah.
One day Donald Trump will be the president.
right.
Bruce Jenner will transition to Caitlyn. Yep. And then I'm going to be in Vegas. And people are going to be actually coming up to me going, hey, I'm a big fan. The Nelk boys had him on the podcast.
Like, did they?
He's kind of rehabilitated. He's kind of rehabilitated. I would literally go up to O.J. Simpson and go, I am a huge fan. And I would love a photo.
I would get,
and I'm very confident he decapitated his wife and her lover. But I would absolutely go up to him and go, I am a huge
big fan,
massive fan of yours. Can I get a photo? And then I would put it on my Instagram and try to come up with a funny caption.
And I think you'd figure it out, man.
That's how over it I am.
Of course.
I'm kind of over it. I wouldn't do that with Dylan Roof.
Sure.
I wouldn't do that with someone I think is like, I think Dylan Roof is evil.
Yeah.
And because I think he went in, he targeted people based on their race.
100%.
And I think that there's something inherently evil about a person who walks into a church.
Yeah.
But a house in Brentwood where you're sucking off a waiter ain't a church. That ain't a church. And there's just different. It's not a church. And I'm not saying it's right. It's not right.
But is it a house of worship? No. Here's another fun angle.
Yeah.
If you really want to spin and you really want to start getting crazy with it.
Let's.
Being pro OJ. The reason what's one of the biggest signs of CTE is damage. It's brain damage, it's aggression, it's violence. So not only that, you could make him like by the way, the NFL, when O.J. Simpson dies, will drop a nuclear bomb on the funeral home that he's in so that science doesn't get a hold of his brain.
Right.
Because it, like, truly, he went crazy because he was one of the best. I mean, dude, that motherfucker was playing when they had, like, one helmet.
Right.
You know what I mean? They had like one little thing on the helmet.
He was getting hit and taking hits all the time.
Yeah, he's a gladiator. For your enjoyment, in many ways, if you love the NFL, you killed Nicole Brown Simpson.
And a lot of people are okay with that.
If you put it in those terms, they're good with
it. A lot of people are okay with that. I got to be honest. Because, number one, people hate LA.
Right.
They hate Los Angeles. They hate. There's never been a city that is hated more. Kind of justifiably than LA. No one cares. A woman, now this might be wrong, this is probably wrong, but a woman who's seen as a gold digger is not going to get the same level of sympathy
as the Jews
than as the talented man who's made the money. I'm not, hey, did I make the world? Am I God? I'm reporting what happens.
If anything, this is a news show.
I'm a media figure, and I'm reporting the news from the Gas Digital Studio in New York City.
We're relitigating the O.J. Simpson murders.
I gotta be
the Gas Digital Studio.
I gotta be honest with you. There's not a man I'd be more excited to see in Las Vegas than O.J. Simpson. Could you think of a person? in Las Vegas, you'd be happier to see than OJ fucking Simpson? No.
Not I mean, I guess Carrot Top, Chris Angel.
I would ask him for weight loss advice. I would hold myself accountable. I may text OJ my steps every night. That's how much I respect.
You want an ongoing relationship.
I love The Naked Gun. I great, adored those are great it. Movies. So like there's a version of me that's at the end of every night going, OJ, I only got 7,500 in today because I'm on the road. He's like, don't worry about it, brother. Try to hit 12 tomorrow.
We all make mistakes.
Try to hit 12,000 tomorrow. He's like, keep the carbs, you know, after 3 p.m., no carbs.
Yeah.
Let me also just throw this out.
Please.
And this might not. Is he the worst father? Probably not. He's probably not the worst dad in the world. He's probably a pretty good dad, and he probably compensates for the incident he had
by
being a better father.
I think this is the first place you're kind of starting to lose me.
Really?
I think murdering your mother really puts you, I would say.
I don't think it's ideal. But I'm wondering, do his kids still have a
That's
relationship?
That's a great question.
I think they do. Could someone here look that
Can
up,
look
perhaps?
That up? I'd
could
love to
one
see
of the
that.
Producers here look
right,
that up?
Right.
See, Gas Digital, what you have to do is walk out with a loaded gun. This is not the Jamie Vernon experience. You have to walk out. You have to put a gun in their head. We kid. But I think they actually suffer. I think they do.
Interesting.
I think they have a pretty good relationship with him.
Because I did hear one theory that was...
That the son did it?
The son did it.
My mother was obsessed with that theory.
I think
you
got
to realize, I was in a Comedy Central sketch about O.J. Simpson. What I'd like the producers to do is if they can, I would like them to get up, just say no, Jay. And this may be the first time it is played. O.J. was a big part of my life.
Yeah.
This was the massive trial. We watched the verdict in fifth grade.
Right.
We turned it on in our school. There was a sketch called Just Say No, Jay. It was released on Comedy Central. It was one of these sketches that they would put between shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I played a kid who was playing with a DNA testing kit. My
really?
Father in the sketch was playing with a Bronco. And my mother was doing Marsha Clark's cookbook, who was the prosecutor
right.
in the case.
Right.
And the idea was that the O.J. Simpson trial had invaded the home of every American family to an unhealthy degree. And Comedy Central's marketing campaign was just say no, Jay. Stop watching the trial. Start watching what we're
Central.
Doing. Start watching
reruns of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, and Mystery Science Theater and whatever, right? And Premium Blend. Do we have this? Let's watch Just Say No,
I would
Jay.
Love to.
Let's watch this.
So this is you as a child.
This is the first time this has been played on my podcast. I think.
Uh-oh.
Hey, that's my ball.
Crushed it.
I've been in this business for years.
Trevor.
Was it after that point that he told you he'd take the next flight?
Yes.
And you, wow, the
you
dog's
just
had
say
enough.
No, Jay, from Comedy Central.
Wow.
So,
congratulations,
that was,
man.
Thank you. But that's... Gas Digital, the grotesque Gas Digital. But that is where, this is how big the O.J. Simpson trial was in the 90s. It's hard to explain to these youngins.
Now, your mother, when she was obsessed with the son did it theory,
yes.
Is she in an institution at the time or she?
No, my mother only went
free.
In when I was in my 20s.
Okay. All right. Nice.
So she, like, what happens with schizophrenia, it either comes on hard in the 20s. Or it's usually kind of later in life, hormonal menopause in the 40s, midlife crisis, 40s, things like that. More common in women than men, still happens in men. But usually it comes on early.
Yeah.
But there are cases where I think the hormonal thing, I think that's a lot of long COVID. Not that it's schizophrenia, but it's menopausal.
Right.
A lot of it's hormonal.
Yeah.
So the OJ, so that was one of my first gigs, one of my first things I ever did.
Nice. Dude.
And we went to this house in Connecticut, and my grandmother went with me, and it was just an all-day shoot, but it was cool.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, I'm in this thing now.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah, OJ, one of your first paying jobs.
It was
happened without him.
One of my first paying gigs. So like, I'm in the business because of the juice.
Well, that's an important disclosure.
It's an important disclosure.
As a journalist, as we've covered.
As a journalist, I want to make sure that everybody knows that I'm defending OJ, not the act, the totality of the person.
He's a job creator.
The totality of the person. That was one of my first shoots, Sesame Street, and that. And I've, you know, on Sesame Street, I did the polka with Snuffleupagus, which we've played huge. That, I think.
Yeah.
And, but that was my first, and I did an NYU student film. I've tried to get this guy to give me this student film. It's called Truck Stop. I don't want to say his name, sure. But I do, but I won't. And I've tried, ad nauseum to get this guy to give me the student film, and he has not released it to me. He's either embarrassed about it, but it's actually a great student film. And I was nominated for an acting award when I was like, I don't know, I was like maybe 9 or something, or 10 or 11.
What's your role in Truck Stop?
It's about a guy who abandons his family at a New Jersey truck stop.
Nice, dude.
And it's me and this woman and my sister, and we're all abandoned, and we're at this dirty Jersey truck stop, and she's trying to get money, and it's like, hard and whatever. And then this biker gives me his cheeseburger. He's like, hey, you know, fucking, you right. need a burger. But I was like thin back then. Ooh. I was a fucking piece.
Yeah, dude.
You know, so that is. I was never raped. You know, here's the thing.
You made it out unscathed.
I made it out unscathed.
I was going to ask.
I was never touched because my parents were like, my grandmother and mother were really paranoid. So if I went to a bathroom, my grandmother would stand outside the bathroom. Like making sure nothing happened. Now, if my parents were smarter, they would have put my pussy
put the boy pussy on the stroll.
And we'd live in Bel Air.
Dude, well, that's what I was going to say, is that it's kind of a shame because what happened to Amanda Bynes or whoever?
It's crazy.
I almost feel like you would have survived. I think you would have literally made a guy sign something before you sucked him off, even at 9.
I was smart. Let's not advocate for this, but I knew what I was doing.
If I had to, all I'm saying is, if molestation is zero sum game,
that's right,
and you can save a child who was destroyed mentally
and put me
by
in
going
that.
Back in time and getting
and
you molested,
with Tim Dillon.
You're not even, dude. You've never even met Luis Gomez.
By the way, you sign me up.
You wouldn't even receive my calls.
Be here in the Gas Digital studio.
You wouldn't be podcasting
where it all started.
You would have become an executive somehow. You would have started as an actor.
Yes,
and now and you.
I do feel bad though. It is horrible. Now, obviously, we're kidding.
Yeah.
But it is bad, you know, and I'm not accusing anyone of being molested, but you do see these guys like Cole Sprouse or whoever.
Yeah.
He's smoking the cigarettes on Caller Daddy, and he's just very like, you know, he seems like really out of it. And I don't know what it was, right? I don't know if it's molestation. It could have been Dylan. I don't know which Sprouse
right.
it was.
Right. Oh, but, the guys from but the thing Big about, Daddy. You think it was Adam Sandler?
No,
let me see your penis. And then pull down those underwear.
No, I don't know what. But it's like these kids have become successful
Rob
actors.
Rob Schneider on the set of Big Daddy.
Imagine
like,
that, Rob.
You can do it. Suck my penis.
How embarrassing. By the way, how embarrassing is that? You're like, I got molested on the set of Big Daddy. They're like, well, that tracks. How shameful.
Anyway,
but all these
I'm
kids
sorry,
that
yes.
went through Hollywood mm-hmm. at a young age do seem insane.
Yeah. For sure.
You don't seem to get out alive. Like, they all seem a little crazy.
Well, it's insane to do.
Insane thing to do. But I met a bunch of young. I'm doing this movie with Addison Rae.
Yes.
Who, you know.
Perfect blend of
styles. Addison Rae, like a lot of people, they're both, you know, listen, people like us because we're hot.
Yeah.
We're sexy. We're young. We represent a lot of things to women.
Yes.
My fan base is mainly teenage women who are looking for.
Yeah.
They're looking for advice, and my advice to all of them is keep your pussy away from me and don't vote.
Don't even register.
It's not sexy. Is there anything less attractive than a woman voting? But I'm kidding. React to this, Hassan. But no, what I think is like. So, by the way, this Addison Rae, by the way, is lovely. Like, I hate to walk in there and you go, I bet she's a bitch.
Right.
She's actually not.
Well, what
she's
is
she? She's like a nice, like, lovely person. And I guess you would be, because it goes one of two ways. You're either a monster.
Of course.
Or you're not. She was like a really fun, cool chick that reminded me, like, oh, like, I get it. Like, she's also really attractive. So it's like, in the head of a straight guy, I'm like, oh, this is, I get this. Here's my problem.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
Totally get this.
She made you think for a second.
She made me think for a second that I had gone down the wrong path.
Well, in a different...
Not that she'd be available if I chose. Not that like...
No.
Like the women that I would hook up with now are more masculine than men.
Of course.
Like the 100%. Women that would be available to me.
Yes.
I was in a diner last night. A Long Island waitress walked up and I had one of my producers from California and she and we go, he orders some faggy, you know, eggs or whatever. Something. And I go, he's from California. And she goes, yeah. She looks at him. She goes, hey, where's your surfboard? Where's your surfboard? And I'm like, oh, that.
Yeah, which is like, we're also on Long Island. They surf here.
Yes.
You know, but,
I'm like,
know.
But she was actually, and I'm doing this movie with these kids, and they're young. They're not kids, they're adults, but they're young, attractive actors. And they start, at one time, they started to break out in song. On the set. Well, and that's
just in the script or just for fun?
Oh, just for fun.
Wow.
And they started singing Bohemian Rhapsody in the green room. And then you start realizing, like, oh, they're theater kids.
Yeah, well, also their lives have gone so well.
It's so well.
Addison like, Rae's you gotta a realize, perfect example.
You got to realize, if me or anyone I knew broke into song at any moment,
oh, my God.
It would be a signal of such a mental break.
Yeah.
Like, such a full mental collapse. My agent, they would all go and go, we got to get him in the wagon.
Yeah.
Get him in the wagon, give him a couple of steroid shots, and get him back out on the stage.
Yeah.
But those kids...
You would have been beaten as a child if you started singing.
Unless it was like, we're doing it for money.
Right.
But otherwise, like, but their lives have been so good, and they're so attractive, and they're actually, here's the thing, they're all nice.
Yeah, well, they're all rich too, right?
Yeah.
She, like, imagine being like a rich girl. Like, yes, you could create... You're right. The opportunity is either like the biggest monster of all time,
yeah,
like this careerist climber,
yes,
who has all the resources, or would it see? I don't know her at all, right? I've seen like a couple TikToks videos, but it's like it just seems like everything has gone. Like you can't have a more charmed life as like
things
born
are good.
Into a rich family.
And I think she'd admit that. She'd go, things are good.
Yeah, but
she also works her ass off. She's doing acting like. There's stuff about her where you're like, a lot of them don't, right?
Yeah, and it's a romantic comedy and you're the two leads?
We are the two leads. It's called...
yeah.
What they're doing here, Spyglass has decided to end... They've decided to end their company.
Yeah. It's a real throwback.
It's a producer.
It's like it's a nice spin on the Harvey Weinstein story.
It's a nice spin on the Harvey Weinstein story.
They reimagine it as a romance.
It's what if the actresses were like found it nice? What if they found it charming? When I was like, get in here, get in the room.
You want to be in a Tarantino movie or not?
Yeah, no, it's I play a security guard who gets decapitated. This
awesome.
Is not. I don't want to give away the lead.
Yeah, but it's a slasher film.
But no, I'm not.
That's awesome,
there was a clique of kids who were like, they are the rom-com.
But that's also so smart, though, to like, I don't know what the project is at all. You told me very little about it.
Yeah.
But it's genius to use those kids in something like that.
Of course, who are you going to use? Us?
Yeah. Well, but it's like, you could pick like, you know, more serious, quote-unquote, actors. But there is something, and I'm sure...
But I think acting at a certain level, like, if you're young and good-looking, what is that? Like, this isn't Philip Seymour Hoffman. Like, let's just be honest. What really is acting if you're young and hot? It's like, I'm mad. I'm going to fight you because you look at my girl. Or, I'm sad. No.
Well,
it's not...
Well, I mean, in a movie, a slasher,
You don't need
but
to act.
But in any teeny bopper,
sure.
What is the cast of Wednesday? No offense.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it. I know one of them, but like, they're pouty. I'm pouty today.
Yeah.
And today I'm angry. It's like, isn't, it's like the, because by the way, young people don't, like, unless they've seen their family burn in a fire, they don't really have that complex of emotions. Mm-hmm. So it's not that layered. You're not like translating some really complex, like everybody talks about that scene in White Lotus where Megan Fahey does that kind of this brilliant thing where you could see her like realizing all these things on the beach just in her face. It's kind of amazing. There's none of that
right.
in fucking Wednesday.
Right, none of that in this slasher.
Right. It's just young people being hot and being like, I'm angry now.
Well, I'm sure, I mean, Eli Roth is fucking a genius, right?
He's a killer. He did Hostel. He's a killer. I mean, he's literally killed people. No.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant horror director.
But that's what, without knowing it, I would assume there's some like subtext there.
Yes.
Where you cast TikTok kids. I don't know what the project is. Like a good example is in like Starship Troopers,
yes.
where they just wanted the hottest, most plastic dumbasses.
Yeah.
Cause they're like, we're recreating basically propaganda.
Right.
Like Nazi propaganda.
Right.
And so like you look at the cast and it's like,
yeah.
The main leader looks like a gay porn actor.
Right.
You know what I mean? The lead, and then it's like, what's her face? Charlie Sheen's ex, who's just hot as shit, but not a good actor. Like,
right.
So it's like, there is a time where you pick bad actors on. Right. Yeah, Denise Richards. Yeah, exactly.
But here's the
Casper
thing.
Casper Van Damme. So He's never been in shit.
I actually think this chick is probably pretty good.
Interesting.
Because she takes it, I saw her on set, she actually takes it very seriously, where I was kind of surprised. And I actually looked at it, and I've been on sets. I was just on a set of one of the biggest films coming out where I was fucking up and being yelled at by the director, like being screamed at. And I'll be able to tell people what movie it
is.
Yeah. Hopefully my scene's in it.
We don't know.
The jury is out. I think it was great.
Yeah.
I think it was great. I don't want to say what movie it is. It's going to come out.
I know this. You told me about this.
So I know.
And it is a big movie. It's a huge movie.
If I'm in it.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
You get cut out of that one. I will do something if I'm cut out. Mm-hmm. I don't deserve to be cut out.
No.
We'll see what happens. But yeah. I observed people.
Mm-hmm.
And she was taking it very seriously. And I think she's probably, because Eli's not going to put somebody in who's not good.
Yeah.
He's going to put somebody in who's actually good. And I think she always kind of wanted to be an actress, and then she maybe just got into TikTok.
But do you know what I mean in terms of directors can use people without really their full knowledge? They're not fully in on it. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
Like a great director is kind of like,
yes.
You know what I'm saying?
That's probably me.
Yeah. I mean,
that might be me. That's maybe what I'm doing. They're just, you know?
Yeah.
But it's cool, you know, it's interesting because I'm keenly aware that I'm a comedian who can act.
Right.
But I'm not an actor. And you know you're not an actor when you hang out with some of these kids where you go, oh, they just have that theater kid energy that I don't have.
Yeah.
Where like literally someone will start being like, you know, they'll just burst into song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's appropriate for them.
Yeah.
And I just sat there kind of like. You know, like,
of course. No, okay. Theater kid energy is brutal. And it's so self-serious too about nothing.
Oh, my.
About acting.
Like so one of the kids, he's like a really good looking dude, and I was like talking to him and like,
you're like, hey, you want to hang out?
Yeah. No,
you
want to meet I'm professional.
You want to meet Louis J. Gomez?
I'm professional on set. Well, they can meet cooler people than that. You want some supplements from Onnit? You don't have to start with Louis Gomez.
Yeah.
How about a couple of tickets to the mothership? But so one of these guys, I was talking to him and he does this thing with his eyes where he's like really trying to get the scene from Clifford up. Get the scene from Clifford up where Martin Short.
With Martin Short, he's
trying to be a real boy. Get this scene up. Great movie.
This
is a brilliant scene because this is how the kid, like they kind of look at you like, I was like, oh, hey man. And I was talking to him and I think he thought I was going to say something like very serious.
Right.
So he just was like, he just looked at me like. And you're like, oh, they're just at every moment these people are just trying on,
people
to be trying on
right.
faces.
There's no authenticity. That's the thing with those kids. It's like they'll do anything. they'll just like, you don't know who you're talking to.
But that's, I think, the only way to be a really good actor.
Right.
I guarantee if you met any of these guys, it's the same thing. No way Ben Affleck is any different.
Yeah.
There's no way. Brad
Pitt's probably exactly like that.
100%.
Him in particular, he's such a good character actor, too.
100%. They're all like that, and they need to be. That's the thing. It's like certain people need to be, and I'm sure it's like it's a nice kind of inauthentic, right? It's not like some schizophrenic roaming the streets, stabbing you. It's like, oh, this is a person who just can kind of be a bunch of different things. And if you're super hot, I guess that's kind of the book. Like, if you're a super hot person,
yeah,
what's the point of picking one personality, right?
Right.
Because you could kind of get away with a lot of shit.
You can do whatever you want.
So if you're a super hot guy, you might go, I want to be a dick today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put on a leather jacket and be a dick. Do we have that scene up?
That's one thing that I find weird, which is, you know, like your middle name. You're doing it right now. Can you just act like a human boy for 1 minute here? Look at me like a person. You can't do it for more than a few seconds. Look at me like a human boy. Don't mess around.
This is so fucking good.
But that's the way they're like, like you talk to them and they're like they don't know how deep. They're always ready to get deep.
Yeah.
So they don't know how deep the conversation can be. So they're kind of like.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies. The list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
Are you laying like life knowledge? Because they look at me like I'm an elderly
person. Of course, dude.
They look at me like I'm Jack Lemmon.
You're a wizened crone.
I'm like 38, but they look at me like I'm like an old man who's going to say something very profound before he dies.
Yeah. Gather around, children.
Yeah, they're like, gather around the wisdom. And I was like, at Skang Fest several years ago, I was there. But that's the thing where I'm keenly aware of, like, oh, I'm not an actor.
Yeah.
I can act and I can do that. And I would like to do it if it was my movie, if I was in control of it.
Yeah.
Are you doing more shit like that?
I'm trying to act a little bit. I mean, this year's been all about, I mean, I've been on the road nonstop for the last two
non-stop.
Years.
Nonstop.
I'm filming a special in May. I just put out a little crowd work special if you want to go watch
sure.
it, folks. But yeah, that's kind of the goal where it's like, it would be nice to just,
it's fun
a little bit.
Fun to do some of that shit.
Yeah, I'm doing a little indie movie. I did one scene, you know, when you do like a romantic comedy and they meet a weird guy
right.
who yells at the attractive people on a bus.
Yes.
I did one of those scenes, you know, that's perfect.
It's always kind of going to be something of that.
And
nature.
That's fine. I feel the exact same way you do where it's like, I'm not a fucking actor.
No.
I like doing comedy.
If I could do it over again. Like, I think sometimes I go, what if I could do it over again? I love these people who go, I would change nothing. It's like, okay.
Come on.
Really?
Yeah.
But if I could do it over again, I'm thinking.
I just love the person I am now.
Yeah.
You have a gambling
addiction.
I'm thinking
about, like, the jobs that I could get. Like, that is a plum gig. If you could just be a hot actor who doesn't really have any. Like, you're just like, and you meet these people, you talk to them, you go, and it's not like they're just like detached in this way
mm-hmm.
that like comes from just being young and successful.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And just like everybody, here's the thing with hot people, everyone is always nice to them. Everyone loves them.
And actors especially. It's like you add hot, like a hot waitress who works at like a bar.
No. People throw things at her.
Yeah, but a hot, like rich, successful person.
Oh, yeah.
It's life on easy mode. There is a collapse that happens.
Yeah.
For those that can't transition.
Well, that is
when
a
the
great
phase.
Point. That is a good point.
You know?
The collapse is never too far.
The collapse is not too far.
Because here's what happens to these actors. They get some heat in LA. Then they all go to New York and they take a photo with a, like, you know, in an alley smoking a cigarette, looking at the ground.
The rebellious phase.
Yeah, they've been in New York for 48 hours and they act like you're like, this is, I'm really going through it. And then what happens is they try to be like the real actor because they've grown out of the teeny bopper bullshit roles. Yeah. And then they try to be like, oh, I got to be a real actor. And then some of them don't make that leap.
Right.
And then they're fucked.
They're fucked big time.
And by fucked, I mean still rich and gorgeous.
Yeah.
But some of them can't handle
that. They might do some drugs.
Yeah.
That's the advantage of getting a career when you're a big, fat, ugly piece of shit.
That's right.
You know, it's like they can't take it from us.
They can't take it from you. They can't take it from the only one who can is the Lord.
Yeah, which that's around the corner.
The only one who can is the Lord. Can you get up a little bit of this Cole Sprouse interview? I just want to see, because we just want to, diagnose the actor here. And you can tell, and he's like, literally this, by the way, can we take the money back from this call her daddy chick? Enough with this $60 million. Can we take that back?
They really hit a jackpot.
I mean, can we take that back? It's horrific. It's atrocious. It's the worst thing I've ever watched.
I look at it the other way where it's like, you know, good for her robbing those Swedish pricks.
Yes,
you know?
Good on her. good for her.
Yeah.
I'm just going, like, I'm watching this person.
No one watches that
I'm watching anymore. This woman interview, and I go, this is not great. She's really not great at this. No offense to her.
Right.
No offense
just
to
just everything you've planned in your life.
This ain't Barbara Walters.
The
show was about her talking about getting anal, and I get that.
And that's interesting.
But now she's doing these interviews, and
talk about your asshole more.
Really, I mean, look, it was a great means to an end.
What Gas Digital does, this is what I love about it.
Do you mind if I have a cigarette?
Please have your cigarette. Okay. You know what, Gold? Let's open the door.
I don't know. People are all.
Oh
cool,
man,
it's fine.
Everyone's smoking weed in like a studio,
but not a fucking
like,
cigarette.
Can I have tobacco, and everyone gets like this.
It's fine. It's fucking fine. I'm curious. Mm. Did you even go to like elementary school?
Even that preface.
I did. It was off and on. It was in between jobs mainly.
What was it? Or
even that preface of like, do you mind if I smoke a cigarette? Yeah. Like, everyone's cool with weed, but whatever happened to cigarettes?
Whatever,
man.
Hey.
You know?
Remember when you could smoke a cigarette in a studio?
It's like, no, you're like 19, you're 20 years old.
Yeah. What happened to smacking women in the face and smoking cigarettes? Why do I got to eat at this lunch counter with a black guy? Yeah, because he thinks he's in Mad Men.
Watch
a little bit of this because it is kind of. It is interesting. It's a fine diagnosis of the people we're talking about.
Was homeschooled, which is great because to be honest, I did not feel like I missed out on much. Everyone that talks to me about their high school experience, I was like, it sounds fucking horrible.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great, Cole. But I'm wondering, do you remember when you were in elementary school? Like, how did people treat you? Because I know you weren't famous, but like Big Daddy, you were what, 5?
Yeah, 6. And when we were kids, I don't think they really cared too much. Some of them knew that we were actors, but Dylan specifically was a huge bully. So our navigation through elementary school and middle school, we were like fucking dicks.
How would he bully people?
He would beat them up. He would beat them up. And then I became known as the twin that would come up and be like, I'm so sorry for my brother.
Wait, I kind of feel like that was your character also on Zach and Cody.
I think the writers on Zach and Cody took a lot of cues from our actual personalities.
Now, by the way, she gets $60 million for this. Tell Antif I'm ready. Give me the balaclava. I'm kind of ready to go full tanky because that $60 million.
No, that's crazy.
To be like, she's sitting there in fucking claw. What is she in those fucking... What are those shoes that Mario Batali used to wear before
right, Crocs.
Crocs. She's before sitting there in Crocs. Cole Sprouse is smoking a cigarette, and she's like, so tell me about your brother. And he's like, he was a bully when he was 6.
Yeah.
And that gets you 60 million.
Imagine getting beaten up by a child actor.
Imagine getting beaten
6
by a Sprouse, by Cole Sprouse, when they were young.
By the way, Mario Batali, that could be the sequel to the...
Here's the thing about Mario Batali.
You could crush Mario Batali's fucking life story.
Now, Mario Batali, can you imagine if
the biopic?
By the way, that our friendship would end so quickly because we'd both be reading for that role. Yeah. Every fat comic in America, we'd be just sitting there and they'd be like, okay. And can you imagine that horrible script? Because by the way, not a feature. We're talking like a Lifetime movie.
Lifetime movie
of the week. And like, literally, they'd be like, because when you go do these auditions, you like slate, you say your name and where you live, you know, and you see it'd be like Tim Dillon, Stavros Halkias, whatever, New York, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you go, and then you have to read the lines, you know, and then you'd be like, you like these clams? Hey, you like working here? I put my whole life into this goddamn restaurant. The least you could do is look at me.
Yeah.
Look at me. You want me to show you how to make this dish? That's called tagliatelle. You want to show you? Come here. What's wrong? I don't understand. I thought you liked working here.
I thought you liked it. They got tagliatelle in Indiana?
Yeah.
Let me teach you something.
I thought you liked it. The gnocchi has to be done just right. Get over here.
Get over here. You fucking bitch.
He'll never come back. By the way, Mario Batali had an apology. We've talked about it on the show, but it just didn't.
The cinnamon roll? The rape cinnamon roll?
Yeah, he was like, I'm sorry I raped everybody, but here's some and by the seasonal way, pastries.
I mean, one of the best. That's king of the celebrity apologies.
The thing about Mario Batali is he was a good cook. He was a great chef. Right. You know, he did a squid ink pasta at Babbo that was great.
He did
a lamb ragu that was lovely. And he also was a rapist.
Right.
And an abuser of women. And that is not good.
We're out on that.
So we have.
I don't fuck with Vitaly.
Here's the other thing. There's a lot of people that can make a lamb ragu, like Nancy Silverton at Osteria Mozza in West Hollywood.
Okay.
And she does not rape anyone.
Not to our knowledge.
Yeah. Don't love the outfits all the time that she does.
but if you had to pick one or the other.
Quirky, but I will go with that. Because, see, Vitaly to me is not like an OJ.
No, not even close.
Batali's,
if I saw Batali now, I'd be like, I'd spit in his face.
I was never really excited to see Batali.
No.
You know,
of
really
all the celebrity chefs, even pre
assault
scandals, I'd take them or leave them.
Here's what the Food Network did to me. I know they created the celebrity chef, but like, they also just, to me, gas these chefs up so much. Their egos are like insane.
Yeah.
Especially, like, completely insane.
I get the top guy. Like, look, Guy Fieri's the man.
Yes, you know what I mean? Yes.
He fucking rules.
I like him a lot.
It's a Tournament of Champions, great show. He's wearing bling that a rapper couldn't pull off.
Guy Fieri is the only guy who basically said, let me make a show out of, like, going to these places. And why had no one done that?
Yeah.
Let's go to these places that, like, people talk about and they're really good food, but also they have health code violations.
Yeah, of course.
They have health code violations, but I still think they should be. Yeah, there's hair in it. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Well, have you been to one in your hometown that's like, it was on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives? It's like, it's not good. Like,
no,
half of them are horrible.
Half
of them are pretending.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, I went to the diner by me, which is like, you know, you're getting some toothless lady.
And you're still in Queens.
No, I'm talking about in Baltimore where I was growing up.
Yeah.
The diner by me. It's fine.
Right.
It's like the fries are in the freezer. Everything is frozen. Like, it's just, you go there, it's 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Some toothless lady who's trying to get her kids back is going to fuck up half of your order.
Right.
Right?
And then there's a picture on the wall of Guy Fieri.
Guy Fieri, and they have, like, their seafood tower. You know what I mean? It's you bought a seafood tower from a different restaurant.
Right.
And served it to Guy when he was here. They'll literally be like, our lump crab cakes. It's like, you don't have lump crab cakes here. You get pancakes and fucking sausage here.
A lot of it's fake.
It's all fake.
And one of them was sad. I walked to one of them. I was on the road. I literally don't remember where I was. I walked in one of them and the proprietor had died. And it was literally just a picture of him and Guy Fieri. And then he was like bald with cancer. And they're like, R.I.P. Rick. I'm like, okay, this is a little rough. That's a tough wall.
I don't want to see this while I'm eating chicken cacciatore.
Yeah, but I mean, the Food Network to me, like, I remember the heyday of it was when me and my grandparents would watch Emeril Show, and he was like Emeril Live, and he'd be like, bam, and you know, everybody was so excited to be on Emeril Live, and
he was the forerunner,
he was the big, you know, to me, I still think Emeril Lagasse, you know, if we're looking at celebrity chefs, he's up there in the top
three. Jordan, he's Jordan, and Guy is LeBron.
Yeah.
It's a generational thing.
That's right. Know? And then Guy Fieri, I don't know if he was he a chef? Probably.
Yeah, he had his restaurant.
I hated Bobby Flay. I still hate Bobby Flay.
I love watching Beat Bobby Flay to root against him.
I hate the premise of that show where he's like, let's go find something that's being cooked the same way for 40 years and let me see if I can beat it because I'm a cunt. Yeah. It's like,
he also is a pussy getter, though. You know, that's another reason
he does fuck a lot.
To hate Bobby Flay.
And didn't he marry that rich chick? Didn't he marry a rich chick?
I don't know. He might have.
Well, I'm not a Bobby Flay head. I like Emerald. I could fuck with Lydia Bastianich from Philadelphia, New York.
That
bitch could carve a fucking chicken with a knife. Like, I loved Lydia.
Of course.
Del Posto, Philadelphia. She's a gangster. Lydia Bastianich. Ina Gardner, Barefoot Contessa.
Barefoot Contessa.
Gangster. Frank Liotti, the best bit about that. Brilliant.
Yeah. I'm a big Chopped head, personally.
Yeah, people like Chopped. Big Tom Colicchio is okay. Top Chef.
I don't know.
He was good. Now, Paula Deen was the one that fell from grace.
Because she
was exactly what you thought she would be.
Yeah. It's like, if she didn't say the N-word, that would be more surprising.
And she was just abusing her staff
and
making them dress up as slaves.
I think so.
Get up what Paula Deen got canceled
she
for.
She said the N-word as well, which...
Can't do that.
You can't, but look at
but
her.
But it's Paula Deen.
You want somebody whose whole thing is about authentic Southern cuisine?
Yeah, well, nothing's more
You're
authentic.
Dropping a couple ends in the kitchen.
Nothing's more authentic than Paula Deen. But I think she got canceled for making the... Yeah, Paula Deen used the N-word. Wanted... Let's get the headline up. Thanks, gentlemen. Paula Deen used the N-word, wanted slaves to serve a wedding
dinner. That's out of control.
I mean...
Wanting the slaves...
Southern plantation-style wedding would include waiters dressed as slaves, Deen says in a deposition.
That's awesome. Her argument was, again, verisimilitude. She was like, we're doing it real. We're doing it right.
Can you imagine, by the way... Like being that much of a racist that you're being deposed, like you're in deposition, and you have to argue that point. You're like, yeah, it was a Southern
style.
Look,
I don't like it. When they made Schindler's List, the guards had to be racist towards the Jews.
Yeah,
I'm making a realistic
I'm doing
dinner
an
here.
Authentic Southern style wedding. Of course, I'm going to have slaves. Yeah. Why would I not hire black people and make them dress up as slaves?
And by the way, the
Jackson subsequently asked Deen what type of uniform she preferred. The servers to wear. Well, what I would really like is a bunch of little, N-words to wear long sleeve white shirts, black shorts, and black bow ties. You know, in the Shirley Temple days, they used to tap dance around.
Oh, my. Shirley Temple?
Paula laughed and said, now that would be a true Southern wedding, wouldn't it? But we can't do that because the media would be on me about that.
Cancel culture has gone too far.
She's like, the goddamn woke media won't let me get a bunch of little N-words tap dance. It's like, God, Jesus Christ.
We've gone too far.
Is bad.
I also love the idea that it has to be an authentic Southern wedding. You know, like in a Shirley Temple movie.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck are we talking about?
It's literally just, she's conflating a bunch of different kinds of racism.
Yeah.
She's covering the racism.
It's racist fusion.
It's an authentic, but she really just wants Al Jolson, like blackface. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? She's like, it's an authentic Southern wedding.
Right.
But, you know.
We have a Jew in blackface singing jazz standards.
It's fucking crazy, man. It's crazy, but, you know, that's, I think, part of the problem when you steep yourself so much in your culture that you can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that sometimes you need to just take a breath.
Ask one black person how they feel about that.
Yeah,
Paula.
Like, ask one person.
Just one.
Just run it by them, like, super casually. Go, let me ask you a question. Hey, let me ask you a question. We're doing a Southern style wedding. Would this be... I mean, let me just ask. Can you sit down? Let me ask you a question. Sit down for this. If I said to you, we're doing a Southern style wedding, and I want some... You know, black people are going to be servers at the wedding. And I wanted them to kind of, you know, dress as slaves and tap dance. Would that be offensive?
What do you think?
Is there any part of that? That's the best line.
Yeah.
So is there any part of that that would offend you? Oh, the whole thing? Oh, all of it? All of it?
I also don't understand why anyone would get married on a plantation. That's wild to me too.
Yeah.
If you believe in like,
yeah, I don't
that's
get it.
A, that's a bad, there's some bad energy. If you believe in energy at all.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of not chill stuff has happened right
it's,
there.
It's kind of like just saying like, we're very excited. We're getting married on an Indian burial ground.
right. We're going
we're so excited.
We're going to Auschwitz to have our nuptials.
There's a Navajo burial ground and we've decided that me and my wife are going to go down there and it is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but it's, well, people will do that. You know, I've talked about it. I've made this joke. It's probably real by now. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to know there's old hotels, and but people will start doing like weddings in prisons.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
Yeah, a bunch of white bitches sitting in the electric chair with champagne.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%. Like, we'll probably outlaw capital punishment, although maybe not, but like, eventually we might. And then, you know, like, these things are going to be tourist attractions, and somebody's going to be like, let's get married in the fucking death chamber.
Right. I guess, yeah, you're even saying it, and it's like Alcatraz. Yeah. I would love that. Imagine we rent out Alcatraz.
It'd be a great party.
The whole fucking team's
out. Well, I think
out.
They're going to close Rikers.
Yeah, they say so.
I think Rikers might get closed because Rikers is a nightmare.
Yeah, they just have people there like on parking tickets.
Yeah.
They just don't get access to plumbing.
I mean, like, I don't understand. Like, the way this criminal justice system works to me is so crazy. And I'm not a guy that says let everybody out if they've done bad things. But like, the amount of people that are in for like, I smoked a joint.
Especially now.
I smoked a blunt. I couldn't pay my fee for hopping the turnstile of a train, and now I'm in this prison for
years. Well, don't
worry.
Don't worry. There's 8 cops there to check on that.
Right,
it's like,
right.
Who gives a fuck
about
subway turnstile?
Yeah, hopping? Yeah. I don't think you can let stuff like that get completely out of control, but I also don't think you should be putting people in jail for years or people can't, like...
Well, those cops don't do shit. They play Candy Crush, and every once in a while, teenager comes along and they're like, all right, let's fuck up his record for hopping a turnstile.
Well, it should be a misdemeanor, right? It should be something quick where you can kind of get out. But then there's certain things where it's like, you know, if you throw someone in front of a train, that should have been.
Yeah, no,
like, there's got to be.
Of course, yeah.
There's got to be a little. You know, but yeah, it's funny, man. It's funny to watch. I don't even know what is on the. Can we bring up the Food Network schedule now? I'm just curious. It's like, what would still be on this?
They got. I'll tell you right now. They got a lot of Beat Bobby Flay. They got They got a lot of Tournament of Champions.
There's nothing better than the Food Network on a summer day, when you should be outside. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's nothing that feels particularly worse than watching like the Food Network on a summer day.
It's my favorite like road thing to watch.
Oh,
you got
Diners.
You got Triple D going.
Alex vs. America.
Yeah, they're really trying. I like Alex.
What is Alex vs. America?
I like Alex Guarnaschelli. She's a really good cook, but they're putting in a lot of stuff. Yeah. But she's one of my favorite Chopped judges.
They always did this thing where they wanted like
a lot of Triple D's.
They always wanted comedians on the Food Network, and then they like met us, and then they were like, oh, we don't want that at all.
Yeah.
We actually don't want that at all. That's a huge mistake.
Right.
That's a massive mistake. We don't want that at all.
We're sorry
we even suggested that. Stavros Halkias, where can people find you and see you and
be a
part of your life?
Yes. I got podcast Stavi's World. Come check it out.
Yeah.
Come do it sometime, Timmy. I have a new crowd work half hour. Just a little put together. I put it together. Little bonus special, free on YouTube right now. Stavi Baby on Twitter. Stavi Baby 2 on Instagram. I'm on tour, the Fat Rascal tour, Still a couple tickets left to the special taping in Austin. And then in the fall, I'm all over the place playing a couple theaters.
Are you doing Paramount? Austin I'm special? Doing Paramount. Fuck yeah. Yeah, awesome.
I'm really excited for that.
You will enjoy that. TimDillonComedy.com. We're on the road until mid-June. If you are interested, if you're not, who cares?
Fuck off if you're not.
If you're not, it's okay.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But TimDillonComedy.com to get tickets to those shows. Thank you so much.
Dude, thank you. I really appreciate it. Yeah, it was great to see you, buddy.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Awake? Debatable. Hungry? Absolutely. Your morning routine consisted of scrambling to find your phone, wallet, and keys, and you're already out the door. Slide into 7-Eleven and grab a breakfast bundle. Grab any breakfast sandwich, like our delicious sausage, egg, and cheese waffle sandwich, waffle tots, and a Monster, Celsius, or Red Bull to jumpstart your day. It's available at 7-Eleven and just $4 with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26. While supplies last, participating stores see app for